Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for the day. And Lord, we just thank you that our Savior was willing to do that for us and he paid the penalty in full.
And we acknowledge that. That's what we need. And we ask for your blessing to be upon us as we just consider you this at this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Title is, What's on Your List? What's on your list? Quite a while, a few years in Bendigo, we've had the opportunity to minister in a nursing home. We don't have the opportunity now, but we used to. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to ask many in the nursing home, where do you believe you're going to go when you die? And just, I'd say every one of them said heaven. Everyone thought they were going to heaven. When I asked them, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Most had a list of things that they believe were going to get them to heaven. The list would generally consist of things like, well, I've gone to church all my life. Or I used to teach Sunday school when I was young. Or more, well, I'm a Methodist. Or I'm a Catholic. Or I'm a Baptist. Or something like, well, I've tried to be good all my life, or I pray every night. They would have something on their list that they believe was going to get them to heaven. I remember speaking to an elderly gentleman once, sharing his need to make sure that his sins were forgiven and be ready for eternity, and he said that he didn't have to worry because he believed he was good enough to get there. And when I asked him, why do you think you're good enough? He said, well, I've been a good husband. I've been a good father to my children. I fought in the war and I served my country well, and I had to suffer for that. And I've tried my very best to be a good person. And he believed that this list of things was enough to get him to heaven. That when he handed his list to God, God would say, well, that's impressive. By all means, you can come into heaven. Now, the sad thing about all of this is, based on what God says in his word, this list and lists like it of good works won't impress him. I'm not sure if he'll laugh when he'll see the list of good works. I don't know if he'll cry or he'll be infuriated, but I certainly know it won't impress him. And over the centuries, people have had all different types of things on their list that they think is going to impress God and give them a safe passage into heaven. If you lived in the days of Jesus and you went to a Jew and said, where are you going to go when you die? They'd say, heaven. And if you asked, why are you going to go to heaven? They'd say, because I'm a Jew. My father is Abraham. Of course I'm going to heaven. They believed that just being a part of that nation would get them to heaven. If you went to one of the Pharisees that were there and you asked them, they would have a very long list of reasons why they were going to get to heaven. I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 3, would you please? We know that the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee before he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he writes here and explains the things that he used to boast about that would get him to heaven. This was his list that he believed would get him to heaven. He says there in Philippians chapter 3 verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Basically what he's saying is, if anyone thinks that in their flesh doing good works would get them to heaven, if anyone thinks they've got a long enough list to get them to heaven, I more than anybody, my list is better than anybody else's. And then Paul gives us the list of things that he believed in the past was going to get him to heaven. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. This was a Jewish law that God had given to his people, and that was something that was performed by his parents for him. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so he had the right bloodline. He is of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. So he was a Jew. And so his forefathers were Jews, and so he was of the right nation. He wasn't someone who had converted to the Jewish religion. He was born into it. And he goes on to say, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He spoke the Hebrew language. Both parents were Hebrews. He wasn't a half-caste Hebrew. He was a fully-fledged one. As touching the law, a Pharisee. And so when it came to keeping the law of God, he was of the strictest and highest group of the Jewish people, and that is of the Pharisees. Not only was he a Pharisee, he was a very zealous Pharisee, says verse 6, concerning zeal persecuting the church. And so he was willing to defend the Jewish religion more than most people. And he was more than happy to persecute those people that followed the Lord Jesus, which was seemingly against his religion. And so he wasn't willing to just sit back and let people undermine his religion. He fought with great zeal for his people and his religion. And then he goes on to say, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And so he says, when it comes to the law of God, I was blameless. You couldn't come up to me and say, hey, Paul, see how God says you're meant to be doing this and you're not doing it. You're guilty. No, he says, you couldn't do that to me. I was blameless when it came to the law. I did everything I was meant to do. And so as a Pharisee, he had an impressive list that he believed was going to get him to heaven. Most Pharisees would have been jealous of Paul. They would have sit there and thought, boy, I wish I could have a list like him. If anyone's going to get to heaven, it's going to be Paul. God's going to see his list, see everything he's done, and say, you're the sort of person I want in my heaven. Welcome in. And I'm sure we all know people with a similar list when it comes to trying to impress God to get into heaven. They are trusting in all sorts of things, all types of good deeds to get them to heaven. Like teaching in Sunday school, like being a good Methodist, like praying at night, like going off to war and fighting for their country or what it may be. But what we remember today is, shows us, or reveals, that all these types of lists are worthless. If all you needed was a good list, why would Jesus have had to come and die on the cross? There wouldn't have been no point. He would have just said from heaven, keep working on your list. Make sure it's good. Make sure it's long. But we discover in the Word of God that lists of good works have no currency in heaven. They have no value to God. He actually said that all those lists of good works are like filthy, dirty, rotten rags in my sight. They mean nothing to me. We know in the Word of God that this Paul, who had such an impressive list, discovered this. And he met the Lord Jesus, the one he had hated, and realized that what he did on the cross was all he needed. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 6, we read what Paul ended up having on his list. He realized that there was only one thing that he could trust in to get to heaven. There was only one thing he could glory or boast in to get to heaven. He said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God forbid that I should glory. That word glory means to boast about, to praise, to be trusting in. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's remember, this is the one who had that very impressive list as a Pharisee. He had a list that most Pharisees and Jews would have died for. Yet he said, I realize I should only glory or trust in one thing. Paul had got that very impressive list, that very long list of good works, and he screwed it up, threw it on the rubbish tip, and said, that means nothing to God. I realize there's only one thing that impresses my holy God, and that is that his son died in my place. You know, if you turn back to Philippians chapter 3, when Paul is talking about his list, after he had said all the things and how he was blameless, in verse 7 of chapter 3 says, but what things were gained to me, these things that I thought were very impressive, those I counted loss for Christ. Once I met the Lord Jesus, they meant nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him. And this is the key, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And so Paul says, I don't want to stand before him in my own righteousness, saying, look at all the things I've done in keeping your law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He realized that he needed righteousness that was given to him by God as he placed his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he did on that cross. And so, what did Paul now have on his list? If you went to Paul and said, Paul, why do you think you're going to get to heaven? Well, he said, well, let me show you my list. I've only got one thing on it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. That's all I'm trusting in. That was the only thing he had on his list. That was the only thing that he was trusting to get him to heaven. And you know, when you talk to someone, I know I can get a pretty good idea with the first sentence they speak after I ask them the question, why do you believe you're going to get into heaven? It only takes that first sentence for me to get a good idea if they are truly saved or not. You see, asking the question, why do you believe you're going to get to heaven? The answer they give is like asking someone who's going for a job interview, you know, why should I give you this job? Most people, when they go to a job interview, they come with a resume, a whole list of things they can glory in, what they're trusting in will get them this job, what they think will impress that person. And when a person says, why do you think I should give you this job? Well, then they refer to their resume and they'll say, well, see my education? Look at all the education I've got for this job. Look at all the qualifications I have. Look at all the experience I have. And they're trusting in these things to impress that person. And when you ask a person, why do you think you're going to get to heaven? Most refer to their spiritual resume, what they're boasting in, what they're trusting in. And what they say next will show us if they're really going to go to heaven or not. See, if I ask a person that question and they say, well, I was baptized when I was young, my heart sinks because I know they're trusting in something that's not going to get them to heaven. If I ask them that question and they say, well, I've gone to church all my life, my heart sinks because I know they're trusting in something that won't get them to heaven, just filthy rags. If they say, well, I've lived a pretty good life, I know that's just filthy rags in the sight of God. There's only one thing a Christian will boast about. There's only one thing a Christian is trusting in. They'll look at their list and they'll say, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. That's what I'm trusting in. And when you ask a person that question, why do you believe you're going to get to heaven? If the first thing they say is that we're They refer to Jesus Christ and what He has done for them, and that's what they're trusting in. That shows me that they are truly born again, because they're trusting in the right thing. And so I'd like to ask you this very simple question this morning. What's on your list? I suspect you think you're going to go to heaven. Question is, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? If your mind doesn't go to anything but what we're here to remember today, well, Jesus is the Son of God. And He came and He died on that cross in my place. And He took my punishment. And I'm trusting in that and only in that. If that's not on your list, or if that's not the only thing on your list, you need to doubt that salvation and make sure you're truly born again. You know, we have a wonderful verse in Ephesians that reminds us of this. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Not a long list of good works. No, but through faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then it says there in verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." What's on your list? I trust it is only the Lord Jesus and what He did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son. And Lord, thank You that we can stop and remember what He did for us this morning. As we read about those men that so cruelly treated Him, yet Lord, we know He was dying for them as well as us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us have that assurance that we are trusting in Him and only Him for that cleansing, that forgiveness, and that home in heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.